battle to keep in place a series of linked concrete-anchored buoys installed along the international border between the Texas border city of Eagle Pass and Piedras Negras, Mexico. In December, a divided panel of the 5th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals had sided with a federal district judge in Texas who said the buoys must be moved. But last week, the court vacated the panel's 2-1 ruling after a majority of its 17 active judges voted to rehear the case. Stephen Camerota is director of research at the Center for Immigration Studies.
That is really encouraging. At least the state of Texas is trying to do something. That's important. It does deter people, and it's completely humane. You'd be shocked to know that there are news stories saying there's razor wire or like saws on these things. None of that's true. They're just a buoy in the water. You can't get over it. That's all. And they work pretty effectively.
And Camerota says it's perfectly reasonable for a country to try to keep illegal people out.
And essentially, that's what the court's saying for now, that the state's not doing anything illegal or wrong. So we'll have to see.
The barrier is one focal point in the legal disputes over border control between Biden and Texas Governor Greg Abbott. The Biden administration also is fighting for access to a city park at the border that the state has fenced off. I'm Chad Groening.
USAID sent to a UN relief agency has been co-opted by Hamas. New reports show. Here's Fox Business's Hillary Vaughn.
We don't really know where this money is going, even though the U.S. is the single largest donor to this agency. The UN Relief and Works Agency for Palestine Refugees doesn't have the best track record. Hamas terrorists are accused of stealing food and supplies meant for the Palestinian people and hoarding it for themselves. Now lawmakers on Capitol Hill want the head of the agency to testify to where taxpayer money is going and also answer questions about some members of their agency's close ties to Hamas. Congressman Michael McCaul and Brian Mast writing to the agency chief, quote, "The ongoing war in Israel has exposed the troubling history of UNRWA aiding Palestinian terrorists and jihadists."
Outlet Texas Scorecard reports a group called Basin Pride featured drag queens at an all-ages Barbie-themed party this past Saturday in Midland, Texas. Basin Pride bills itself as a social committee under Pride Center West Texas, made up of LGBTQN+ community members from the Permian Basin. An ad for the event encouraged attendees to hang out in Barbie's Dreamhouse, one of the rotating sets in which customers pay to take pictures of themselves. The South faces a multi-day flash flood threat as heavy rain returns, Fox Weather reports. Weather Prediction Center data shows 5-plus inches in some areas of the region, with higher totals possible. A few storms are in the forecast as well. Here's Fox Weather's Britta Merwin.
The tough thing is that we're tapping into tropical moisture. So you're just talking about how parts of South Texas got 2 to 4 inches of rain in a couple hours overnight.
Yeah.
You are going to have certain communities that overperform. It's just what you expect when it comes to tropical moisture across the deep South. As we work our way towards Thursday, still a flood risk. So this is a story that stays in part all the way through Friday.
To the north, where freezing temperatures still exist, winter weather advisories are in effect from parts of the southern plains into the Midwest and Northeast. For American Family News, I'm Robert Thornton.
So for God to speak is for God to engage in self-revelation. We only know God because God has condescended to speak to us.
The God Who Speaks is a 90-minute documentary that answers many of the common objections about the Bible's reliability. The film equips believers to confidently base their lives on the power of God's Word. It's available at streaming.afa.net.
Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, prescribing hope for healthy families here on American Family Radio. Here's your host, Professor, Pediatric Nurse Practitioner, and Mom of Four, Dr. Jessica Peck.
Well, hello, friends, and welcome to this episode of the Dr. Nurse Mama Show. Happy January. I hope everyone has gotten through the snow apocalypse that we have had and just all of the bad weather that's crossing the country. I hope that you have had some yummy soup or chili or something like that through this dreary month of January. But I hope also that the show has been a bright spot for you. We are here prescribing hope for healthy families. We have been talking about 52 Habits for Healthy Parenting. And I hope that you have joined in on that as we go. We have talked about just my New Year's resolution and the fact that I'm inviting you to join me. It's really easy. There's almost no way to fail. All I'm asking you to do is do your best and listen in as each week we unveil a new healthy habit for the week. So the things that we have talked about before so far in the month of January are very simple but very important foundational building blocks for improving your parenting. We've talked about the power of prayer and incorporating prayer into your everyday life. For me, I am trying this year to keep a prayer journal. I'm trying to write in it on Sunday afternoons, and I'm giving myself grace if I forget or if one day is shorter, but I know that already I have three entries of long prayer request list, actually, that I didn't have last year. And I'm going back and looking and seeing the ways that God has been faithful and answering those prayers that I had. We've talked about the power and the wisdom there is in memorizing scripture. And that is really important for us to give our kids that knowledge. And I am already memorizing, I'm trying to memorize one verse a week. So that's 52 verses in a year. I have already memorized four, and now my husband is taking me up on this challenge, which is super exciting. So we have a little bit of a competition going on up here in this house, and if there's a competition for scripture memory, I am okay with that. The verse I'm working on this week is Psalm 32:8. I will instruct and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. Now, for me, parenting college students who don't know what their future looks like, this is a great piece of wisdom that I can share with my girls when they say, I don't know what I'm going to do, Mom. I don't know. Should I keep my major this or that? I can say, I will instruct and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. The other things that we have talked about are plugging into a local church. It's so important to be connected in a body of believers. That is really important to do. And this week, what we're talking about is the power of listening to Christian music. Now, this is not, I'm not talking about the evils of other music. I am not going to hate on some 90s country music or 80s jam or whatever that is. But if you listen to music that is produced today, a lot of it, when you think about the lyrics, they are very hopeless and frankly dark. And music impacts our attitude, it impacts our emotion, and actually you can look at the science of what music does in activating our auditory complex. Now, this is a phenomenon called earworms, where not only is our auditory complex activated when we hear a song, but it's actually activated even when we think about a song. So that may be something like, okay, y'all don't get mad at me now, but I'll think about Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star, or my husband's particular favorite. He said never in the history of ever. It's a Small World. See, now you're not going to get that song out of your head. But that's the important thing when we think about music. It really does set our minds, our attitudes, our hearts. And you want, in this world where we have a lot of negative messages, it's really important to have positive messages. So my challenge for you in a healthy habit this week is just to listen to more Christian music. Just try to implement it somehow in your day, whether that's a preset on your car radio, whether that is playing it at home, just somewhere in the house, or listening to something on the go, or changing up your playlist. And hey, listen, if you didn't know, I am actually on Spotify. You can find me at Dr. Nurse Mama, where I am cultivating a new playlist for you. I already have playlists that are themed for peace, for victory. They actually correspond to each chapter of my book, Behind Closed Doors, A Guide to Help Parents and Teens Navigate Through Life's Toughest Issues. And you can listen in to some of my favorites and my playlist and those messages that I need to hear. Like, my fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. So that's it. I hope that you will join in. If you're in, find me on my social media on Facebook or Instagram and just comment, "I'm in," and tell me what state you're from. Stephanie, my producer, and I are actually keeping a map of the people from different states, and we would love to have all 50 states represented. And we're on our way to do that. Well, it is my pleasure, my joy. Let me tell you, I'm fangirling a little bit on the guest I have today. If you are from Houston, like I am, I am sure that you know Lauren Freeman, Lauren Freeman Roth. She is a former TV news anchor, and she is a mom of five boys. I mean, automatically, our respect, her credibility is going way up because we know that is a wonderful, joyous, challenging job. She's a fellow Texan. She's a Baylor Bear. She is a health and beauty advocate. And I am so excited to talk to her today just about her life and sharing some of her encouragement and what she's learned with us. Lauren, welcome to the show. We're so glad to have you.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here and get to connect with also a fellow Baylor Bear.
Sick 'em, right? I mean, really.
Yes,
and it's so funny. Last night when, you know, we were sharing that you were going to be on social media, my sister-in-laws were like, "You're kidding." So I'm just giving a shout out. They're listening. Yes, we have Lauren Freeman Roth. It's so exciting. But why don't you just start by sharing your story, Lauren, as a Christian, a wife, a mom, and what led you to pursue a successful career in TV news and then leave it?
Yeah, I spent 25 years, believe it or not, in television news. I started as a tape editor back when we used to shoot things in news on tape in Waco when I was a sophomore in college. And so I literally started in TV news when I was 19 years old. I mean, super young. I always knew exactly what I wanted to do. I eventually anchored in Waco and then kind of moved around the country from there. But news just always really resonated with me. I think it was sort of the performance of it, and it was always, I enjoyed and I was curious about things as a child. And so news resonated with me, current events resonated with me, and it really led me down that path. And I thoroughly enjoyed my 25 years in TV news. I don't regret a day of it, but when it was time to go, it's time to go. And I, you know, when I left my current station where I previously was, and I thought, okay, what do I want to do next? And I thought, okay, I have an opportunity today to ask myself that, and the sky's the limit. I can do whatever I want. And I knew television news really wasn't the place for me anymore. And my passion over the years has really become wellness and health, because I had health issues that I was able to completely heal myself. And that's very empowering, and it's something that once you go through that, through really being sick, and you're able to fix it yourself, you want to tell everyone, don't eat sugar, watch the dairy, evaluate the wheat. You hear people all the time complain about their children's behavior, and of course my first question nowadays is, what are you feeding them? What are they eating? What are they listening to? What are they reading? You know, what are you putting into them? So my passion just really changed over the years, and television news changed dramatically. And someone, I just always resonated with someone who championed truth, and the media really isn't a place for someone who champions truth anymore. And I think anyone who watches knows that. It's on a more significant scale on the network level, in my opinion, but that definitely trickled over into local news as well. So I cannot say that many tears were shed when I left TV news, but I'm excited to get to continue to do what I want to do on a platform that I can share truths that are so important that people really can evaluate and get back to basics, get back to the way God intended us to live, to eat, to create, to coexist.
Well, you know, I know there are listeners all over the country now who are cheering your transparency and your authenticity and really your courage in this. You know, Lauren, you were well known in TV news and especially, you know, here in Houston. And I imagine that that was really hard to do. And I want to dive into more of the nutrition stuff, but let's pause for a second here. And I think you and I should have a little chat about the fact that it is really hard to be a professional, to work, and to be a mom. And the world will tell you that you can have it all. You can have it both. And, you know, I'm a professor. I'm a working mom. I am. And, man, I could talk about that for a long time. But I think the truth is you can't have all of both worlds. Something has got to give. And what I found, and I'd be interested to know if you had this experience, is that it wasn't my job necessarily that gave. It wasn't my kids or my family. It was me who suffered. I was going to be the one to go without sleep. I was going to be the one to go with more stress or, you know, with poor nutrition. What do you think? What was your experience in that?
I could not agree with you more. There just aren't enough hours in the day, and at the end of the day, you don't have enough energy to do it all. And I have to be very honest that I was fortunate enough to work part-time for the last 9 years of my television career, and I worked very part-time. So you saw me on the air a lot. When I was at the station, I was on the air. I wasn't doing a lot of writing, a lot of preparing, or anything like that. So that made a huge difference for me. I would have left many, many, many years earlier if I had to continue working full-time. My TV station gave me the opportunity to work part-time, and I 1,000% jumped at that. So that's a big difference there, the part-time versus full-time. But yes, when you are a working mom who is working full-time, your entire life, your entire existence, you know, family planning also revolves around that. I hear women all the time go, oh, I'd love to have five kids, but, you know, I work so much, there's no way I could do that. And that's probably true. Like, I get that. I totally understand that. My husband and I, probably pretty early in our marriage, decided that we were going to always choose our family and our children over anything else. So we decided to have a large family and just let the cards fall where they did. That was our main priority. And, you know, I heard a preacher years ago and this say, and this has always stuck with me, that, you know, the first commandment that God gives people in the Bible is to go forth and multiply, be fruitful and multiply. And we took that to heart.
So, five boys, yes.
My husband just turned 50 this year. I'm 45. You know, if we could have more kids, we certainly would. We'll see. But we just took that to heart. But yes, I think at the end of the day, it is the mom who struggles so many times. And, you know, I think one thing that I eventually had to stop and ask myself is, why am I doing this to myself? Ours wasn't always financially driven. My husband has a successful business, thankfully. But at the end of the day, I had to stop and say, why am I doing this? And I was sort of brought up, and maybe it's our age, that we're just workers. And I was sort of on autopilot and auto drive. I just work, 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 work. And I'm still to that way to an extent. And I work very part-time at this point as well, because I'm raising five children and educating them part-time as well. But yes, I would agree with you that there just aren't enough hours in the day. And I think, as women, we have to realize you cannot have it all.
Well, and that's where we got to speak truth, right? That's what you said. Part of speaking truth is being honest about this. How do we juggle our careers, our families, our faith? And spoiler alert, if you don't have your faith at the top of those priorities, the others are going to be hard. Well, we're coming up on a break here, but don't go away, because Lauren and I are just getting started talking about our faith leading our families, talking about her journey with nutrition. And we're going to talk about Dry January again. A lot of you reached out about that. Don't go away. There's much more to come. We'll be right back.
I'm Rick Scarborough, and this is my take. In a recent opinion piece titled A Culture in Collapse, Victor Davis Hanson wrote, Quote, in the last 6 months, we have borne witness to many iconic moments evidencing the collapse of the American culture. The signs are everywhere. And our descent is self-induced. What is happening to us is almost exclusively the wage of the progressive project. In sum, American civilization has been turned upside down, and we will soon have a rendezvous with the once unthinkable and unimaginable. End of quote. Initially, I felt overwhelmed upon reading his words. Hansen is one of the most insightful men in the conservative movement. He is making the case that America must have revival for survival. Wake up, church. I'm Rich Scarborough, and that's my take. Visit recoveramerica.com and order my new book, America in the Balance.
In this new world, on this new day, we rejoice that Roe v. Wade has been overturned. Preborn has been preparing for this moment for the past 16 years by positioning their clinics in the top six abortion states where 50% of abortions occur. Sadly, five of these six states will continue to abort babies at an even greater level. And since the abortion pill accounts for over 50% of abortions, babies are even more at risk. Preborn pregnancy clinics are completely dependent on you as they offer life-saving ultrasounds and the life-saving gospel to moms and babies in crisis.
When I heard her heartbeat, I decided to keep her. And now my daughter's about to be three. I don't know where my life would be without her.
To learn how you can be a part of rescuing babies' lives and sharing the heart of Jesus, go to preborn.com or dial #250 and say the keyword baby.
While in the emergency room with my wife, as she was struggling with the COVID-19 virus herself, and I looked at her, I said, "Are you scared?" And she said, "A little bit, but I've been through worse."
The Certainty of Mankind's History with Uncertainty, an article by Peter Rosenberger.
And then, as her fever was approaching almost 103, she started singing In Christ Alone. I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the cross. And that's how she has anchored herself in the certainty of Christ through her huge medical journey that has included 80 surgeries, both of her legs amputated, 100 doctors have treated her, 12 hospitals, and now the COVID-19 virus. And so when we live with those kinds of uncertainties, anchoring ourselves in Christ alone, that's the only place we can run to where there is certainty.
To read this article and more, visit afa.net/the stand.
You're listening to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show with Dr. Jessica Peck on American Family Radio.
Welcome back, friends. I am having an empowering, encouraging, and enlightening conversation with Lauren Freeman Roth. Now, she's a former TV news anchor, the mom of five boys, a fellow Texan and Baylor Bear, and a health and beauty advocate. And before the break, Lauren, we were having a very honest conversation about our shared experience as working moms. And I think this is just really important to share because there are a lot of people who may look at us from the outside, just like you just said, me seeing you on TV a lot, but not realizing that you're working part-time. And that is something that I shared in my journey. There were a lot of years as a professor, I would have a 60% appointment. I would be off in the summer. And let me tell you, I said no to a lot of promotions and administrative positions because you can't have it all. Something is going to give. But I think the important thing in all of this is, but God will direct your path. And I remember declining a promotion that I was being offered, and they asked me why. And I said, I've prayed about it, and I just don't feel like this is the right time to take that much time away from my family. And the person interviewing me said, well, faith is not a professional strategy. And I said, oh, you're right. Wow. It's my only strategy. That is it, you know, because, and God has blessed that. And here you and I are sitting talking on the radio, sharing our experience. So I think God has done something. But I would love for you to share, how has this changed? So since you have stepped out of news last year, how has your life changed? What is everyday life like for you? And how are you educating your boys? What does your life look like?
Yeah, it's different, and I kept thinking when I left television news that it was going to hit me, and at some point I was really going to miss it, and I'm a little over a year out, and I haven't come to that point yet.
Praise God.
I'm encouraged by that. No, you know, it's what's amazing is that I'm just able to spend so much more time with my children. And we have chosen a hybrid education through a school through our church where my kids go to school a few days a week, and then I homeschool a few days a week. And we also have a tutor that helps with math because I need help with math.
Amen.
I am not the yes. I mean, we all have our subjects, right? I'm all over the writing and the logic and the Latin and the grammar and the Greek and all that that they're studying. But it's a classical model. But I need help with the math. So it's just so nice to be so hands-on with my children 24/7. And I think the thing that we have to remember as moms, and I think that we're not told this by society, but society doesn't control us or rule us. We can do what we want. And it's okay to take these years where your children are young and focus more on them than your career or on anything else. That's okay. And we're told, well, you can't go back later and have a career then. You can. Yeah. There may be some more hoops to jump through, but you can. Whoever tells you that may think it's too hard for them, and maybe it is. But if where there's a will, there's a way. And so I am just really right now pouring into my children every day. I have my health and wellness platform that I do as well, and I'm passionate about that. And my children see that I'm able to cultivate something on my own, which I think is important. My husband is a plastic surgeon. He's also a small business owner. He owns his own practice. So they see that from him, certainly. But I like that they're able to see me build this from the ground up because, A, it gives them some sort of business knowledge heading into the real world, and, B, they see that moms can work, be completely dedicated to their children, but also have an income and do something that they enjoy and are passionate about on the side. And that also has some sort of good societal impact. So I'm happy that I'm able to show and do that. But my daily life involves a lot of carpooling, a lot of going to basketball games, baseball games, track meets at this point. So it's fun. And, you know, I miss even working part-time for the last 9 years, I missed so much of that. I hated that I never got to drive afternoon carpool. And so there are still days where I'm driving afternoon carpool and I am so thankful that it's me picking them up and not the nanny or not someone we've paid to go pick up our children. Because that's what happens when you have a working mom usually. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just thankful that I get to be there. The kids, by far, that was their happiest part of me not working at the station anymore was that I get to pick them up from school. They thought that was just remarkable. They were thrilled by that.
You know, it's so funny because that I actually just posted about this on my own social media just this week, because my sister and I had gone to the funeral of the mother of one of our childhood friends, and one of her grandsons talked about the greatest significance that he found was just in those little moments that seemed inconsequential at the time, but they resulted in relationship building, and that was forged through faithfulness in our motherhood journey. And it started me to think, Lauren, that, you know, any mom can put her best foot forward for a big event. Like, and sometimes as moms, I think we go to those, we look at other moms and we kind of see them and we cherry pick their best moments and we think, oh, I wish I was a mom like that. But the truth is, it's all in the laundry and the wiping noses and reading the same book 1,000 times and kissing boo-boos and carpools and all of those things. And this is what I said. I said that it's the mundane that becomes miraculous over time, those unseen moments that no one but heaven applauds at the time where your excellence in mothering is fixed in the heart of your children. And I think, you know, the encouraging thing about that is that it looks different for all of us, you know, whether you're working part-time or stepping out. But if you are following the Lord's call in your life, if you are waking up every day and thinking, all right, God, where do you have to take me today? And you're walking in that peace, then you can have a little less anxiety about how much you work or don't work or what you know, sometimes you need to work. Have you found that to be true?
Oh, absolutely. And you know, I have to say my husband and I years ago just I feel like we have lived our marriage in a perpetual state of gratitude, and that has been really a game changer for us. Gratitude in the good things that happen, but also peace and understanding in the things that don't always go our way. And, you know, I think it's so important also for parents and for moms to surrender to the will of God, because our anxiety so many times and despair comes from us trying to control things. Mm. And so we just, my husband and I just got to a point really in our lives where whatever happened, we were encouraged by it, no matter what. We just realized that there was a master plan, and we felt like God was in control, and we gave thanks no matter what. And in all things, give thanks, and that's mm-hmm. what we have strived to do. I can't say we've done it every day, every hour, but that's our MO, that's our goal, that's what we're striving to do, and I do feel like that makes such a huge difference.
Well, that is one of our family verses, is Psalm 84:11. The Lord God is a sun and a shield. He gives grace and glory. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. And so even things that we may perceive as good, God doesn't. And one of the good things that has come out of this journey that you've had, Lauren, is your passion for health and for nutrition. Yes. And it has benefited not only your family, but now you are using that knowledge to share with others. So tell us more about how that journey started and what gave you your passion for nutrition and what that looks like now in your family life.
Yeah, I had some major health problems along the way, and it started with stomach ulcers that I'd had for years and years and years, really starting from my teenage years, and they had gotten worse and worse, and I was supposed to go see a specialist, and we kind of ran into him in a social setting, and he was like, yeah, we've got all these really extreme measures we do now, and he like mentioned a surgery or something kind of in passing, and I'm like, wait, what, for ulcers? What? No. And I said, can I change my diet? Could I be eating something? He said, absolutely not. What you eat has nothing to do with stomach ulcers. No, no, and no. And I thought, well, when I get home, I'm going to Google just to see. And so I just Googled stomach ulcers and food, and the first thing that popped up was a PubMed article detailing a link between artificial sweeteners and stomach ulcers. And guess who sat around eating and drinking artificial sweeners 24/7?
For all the news days? Anchor.
Me. Yes, me. I mean, constantly. I had it in my coffee. I had sodas. I even had the candies occasionally with it. So I, that day, cut it out. I mean, I never put it in my body again. And my stomach within a week was much better. Within 3 weeks, I thought, do I even have these anymore? And within a couple of months, they were completely gone. And I kept thinking this is a fluke. There's no way I've suffered all these years just because I was drinking those stupid drinks. No way. But sure enough, I mean, that's what was contributing to my issues. And then years later, I had some health conditions with wheat. And I found out I could not have wheat at all. I wasn't celiac, but I had severe intolerance, sensitivity, whatever you want to call it, to wheat. So once I removed that from my diet, I was great. Back to normal, perfectly healthy. I'd been in and out of hospitals for treatment and tests as a result of just gluten. I mean, who would have ever thought it? And then a few years later, I started having really strange headaches all the time. I would have episodes where I was just very lethargic and very out of it. And really, no one could figure out what was wrong then either. And finally, I figured it out. I told my husband, I think I'm having blood sugar issues. And I go to an endocrinologist. Sure enough, I was diabetic. And so I said, he said, I want you to meet with my nutritionist to tell you how to change your diet. And I said, absolutely. And I met with her and I said, you know, I just want you to know, I know, this was many years ago, I said, I know a lot about nutrition. I don't know that I need to meet with you. She goes, well, let's just talk about what you eat. I said, okay. She said, tell me what you eat for breakfast. I said, oh, sometimes I'll have a banana or yogurt or oatmeal or maybe a bagel or a donut. She goes, okay. And then do you drink coffee? Oh, yeah. She goes, what do you put in the coffee? I said, oh, sugar and some milk and some cream. Okay, okay. So she goes, let me get this straight. For breakfast, you have either sugar, 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 or sugar. And I said, yeah, I am You're right. Yes. Yes. And so she radically changed what I ate. I very seldom eat processed sugar, still to this day. And miraculously, my diabetes went away. So I just started to realize how pivotal food was. What you're putting in your mouth, nutrition-wise, is one of the largest predictors of how you feel. Mm-hmm. And when you are legitimately sick and feel awful and are scared by that, when someone tells you to change your diet, you're like, absolutely. Or I was anyway. What can I do? So I just really started this deep dive into learning and understanding health, wellness, food choices, chemical additives, the things that we're putting on our bodies, in our bodies, artificial food coloring, sugar, all these things. I just started this deep dive and realized we're doing it in this country all wrong. These processed foods may be convenient, but in most cases, they aren't food. They're food-like products, but they have virtually no nutritional value. And in fact, they have things that hurt you, like artificial food coloring and these additives, once again, and the sugar and all these preservatives. And I've also seen with my children over the years, we have really made a concerted effort to eat real food. We don't always have fancy meals. I'm not the best cook, I'm going to be honest. There are days where I slice some tomatoes with salt and pepper, and that's one of our vegetable size. You know, it's simple, but that's real food. Your body knows what to do with that. It doesn't know what to do with, you know, Takis or Cheetos or Fritos, these things that are ultra-processed, can sit on a store shelf for months and months and months. And I see with my kids, it makes such a difference in their ability to learn, to sit still, to focus. And I have started to wonder over the years, I hear parents tell me all the time, oh, my kid has such terrible ADD. And I frequently encourage them to really evaluate what they're feeding them, because so many of the side effects, and in fact, in Europe, all foods with artificial food coloring must carry a warning label that it can lead to hyperactivity. That is not the case in the United States, obviously. But it makes me wonder, and I encourage parents all the time to evaluate what their kids are eating if they're struggling with any type of focusing issues. If there's lots of sugar and artificial dyes present in their diet, that can manifest from time to time with ADHD-like symptoms.
Well, you know, you're speaking my language, because as a nurse practitioner, I really understand and appreciate the impact of holistic health. So what we eat absolutely impacts our overall health, how we sleep. I mean, all of these things.
Oh,
and I
yes.
think that COVID really brought that into focus, because, you know, when there were, you know, there was a lot of dialogue focused on vaccines or medications used to treat it. But for me, I'm thinking as an NP about prevention. And I'm thinking exactly what you're saying. We know that when we have overall good general physical health, it's going to impact our emotional health, our psychological health, our mental health. I mean, all of those kinds of things. And it can be really hard, though, Lauren. What I see is that people will say generally, yeah, I know that. And I think I read somewhere in your bio that you grew up like I did. Like, we never had a fresh vegetable in my whole life. Like, if vegetables were canned corn or canned green beans. Like maybe something frozen every once in a while. But I think there's people who feel intimidated by healthy food choices. Like, I don't know how to cook an artichoke. Like, how do you pick that out of the grocery store and do that? Or it doesn't taste good, or it's not convenient. I don't have time for that. So when we come back, I want you to share some practical tips and encouragement for those who maybe have tried this journey but feel discouraged, or maybe they just haven't even tried yet because they already feel defeated. And I also do want to talk about Dry January and your decision to stop drinking alcohol for health reasons and other healthy habits that you have. So listen, friends, don't go away. There's so much more with Lauren Freeman Roth. We will be right back.
The world around us is constantly challenging the way we think. That's why we need a constant source of information that's based on the unchanging Word of God. I'm Jeff Shambley, and I invite you to join me for The Stand Radio, a weekly program that highlights the latest trends in culture, faith, and family. You'll hear insightful interviews with a biblical worldview application. The Stand Radio, Saturdays at 4 p.m. and Sundays at 8 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
AFA believes that all men and women, whether in private or public, should be free to exercise their faith without hindrance from the government.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
You know, these days, so refreshing to get some good news about how to pay for health care, especially if you're 65 or older, you know just how brutal costs can be. Well, MediShare now has a new option for you. It's called MediShare 65 Plus. And MediShare is a community of Christians who share each other's healthcare bills. And it really is a community, too. People encourage and pray for each other. If you've got Medicare Parts A and B, MediShare 65 Plus fills in those gaps where Medicare stops. It's a great way to fight inflation, too, because it starts at only $99 a month for up to 10 years. And it's easy. You can use any Medicare-approved doctor or get 24/7 telehealth access, prescription savings, dental and vision savings, just very worth looking into. MediShare 65 Plus is taking applications now. And if you call with the promo code SHARE before January 31st, your second month will be free. Call 833-45-BIBLE. That's 833-45-BIBLE, 833-45-BIBLE.
The words you are about to hear are taken from letters sent in by members of the Trinity Debt Management Program.
Dear Trinity, today I'm making my final credit card payment.
Before I came to you, I was in a constant state of anxiety and panic, but now there is hope for my family's financial future.
Working with Trinity made me understand that I'm not alone.
You really do help people.
Your kindness will never be forgotten.
Without Trinity's support, I would not have achieved my lifelong goal of becoming debt-free.
We saved a lot on interest and penalties, of course, but the reward was the gift of human kindness.
Trinity has carried me through a very difficult time in my life. You're amazing.
I used to feel so anxious and hopeless. Now I feel grace and peace.
God bless Trinity as you continue to help others become debt-free.
If credit card debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813.
Podcasts of the Dr. Nurse Mama Show are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Dr. Jessica Peck on American Family Radio.
Well, hey, friends. I'm having a fun and enlightening conversation with Lauren Freeman Roth, a former TV news anchor, the mom of five boys, a fellow Texan and Baylor Bear, a health and beauty advocate. And we were talking about her journey to heal herself, really, when she was experiencing health issues. And honestly, Lauren, this is so much of what I feel is wrong with American medicine today, is not putting an emphasis on preventive health, you know, not paying for, you know, the nutrition counselors, like you said, you just described, could change your life, but instead covering the diabetes medication that you shouldn't have needed in the first place, because if we had better support structures along the way, I think we'd be in a different place. But, you know, I think nutrition is one of the places where people can feel the most discouraged and most defeated. And it's really scary when you start looking at the science behind what these companies do to activate the pleasure center in your brain, like perfecting the art of the crunch or the feel of that salt explosion on your tongue. I mean, there are scientists working to make you addicted to this processed food. That is just the honest truth. It is. But parents can feel like it's expensive, you know, all the barriers I was telling you before. And they, I feel like a lot of times when I'm counseling parents in my practice, they set this bar really high. Like, okay, we're only going to eat out once a month and we're going to eat healthy every night. And, you know, by day two, they failed. So what advice would you give for families who are thinking, you know, I've been thinking about this for a while. I know we need to make a change. I don't know where to start. What would you tell them?
I would say start simply. I really believe in making 5 and 10 and 15% adjustments that over time add up to something monumental. So rather than saying, okay, we're just not going to eat out for this month, or I'm going to make every meal at home, instead maybe look at some healthy sides that you can easily make in 10 or 15 minutes. And yes, you can make some. You can make salads very quickly. You can cut up fresh fruits and vegetables as a side. Yes, that can be a dinner side. Now, I know if you go to a restaurant, that's not what they're going to sell you as a side, but that is suitable. That's healthy. It tastes good. Everybody enjoys that. I mentioned earlier cutting up tomatoes with salt and pepper. You sprinkle a little olive oil on there to make it fancier, maybe some fresh basil if you have some, and that's a lovely, beautiful dish. And you can do that with lots of different vegetables. The other thing is just salads. That's a great way just to throw some extra nutrients at you and your kids and your family every day. I'm a big fan of making your own salad dressing. You don't have to do anything complicated. You can do olive oil, salt and pepper, and a little bit of lemon juice, fresh squeezed lemon juice. And look, with some really great things in that salad, that's all you need. You can put even some different fruits. You know, my mom likes to put strawberries in her salad from time to time. I don't like that, but she does. So you can get creative. You know, I have a good friend that likes to put apples in her salad. And so you can get creative. You can Google. You can look around. And there are more resources than ever to show you simple, quick, easy meals. The other thing is, and I know my husband might disagree with this, but it's okay to eat leftovers. While, yes, many of us would love to have a new fresh meal every night, it's okay if you have some spaghetti left over from last night to have that again tonight. The other thing is if you do make a big vat of soup or something like that and you only eat half, freeze the other half and then eat it next week. Just thinking through and really being resourceful when it comes to nutrition, A, saves you money and it saves you time as well. And you can still maintain nutritional value in things when they're frozen. Freezing is a great way to preserve something that we don't have to add chemicals. So when you go to the grocery store and you're looking around and I'm going to use the rotisserie chickens that we see all over the place as an example. If it has a best buy date for next week, they have loaded a tremendous amount of chemicals into that for it not to grow mold and do lots of other gross things on that shelf. Okay. So, you know, that's probably not a great option. The other thing, you know, you say, but a nice rotisserie chicken is so convenient. Yes. But do you want to eat all those chemicals? Probably not. So you can also just throw things in the crock pot at your house. It's easy to throw chicken and some barbecue sauce in there. And in a couple of hours, you have a great meat. But again, you could have the leftovers the next night. So it's just all about keeping it simple, I think, as someone who's not the best chef around. But just keeping it simple, being creative, and planning ahead makes a huge amount of difference. And what? So many times we think we have to go buy the salad dressing, buy the marinade, buy this, buy that. I mean, I think probably one of the greatest marinades of all times is just lemon juice. I mean, it's remarkable how many times I will just put chicken or fish or something just to soak for a little bit in lemon juice and salt and pepper, and it's great. It's tastes good. It's fresh. No more toxins are added to your dish. It's just an easy way to get really good flavor. And the other thing that happens, and I think this is such a huge, huge, huge message to get out to people. When you stop eating chemicals, when you stop eating a bunch of sugar, your taste buds change. And simple things will taste lovely to you. Lovely. Especially with the sugar. Once you stop eating sugar or cut it back dramatically, if you drink a soda, you will gag because it tastes like syrup. It is so sweet. So we calibrate our taste buds based on what we eat. Mm-hmm. So when you remove something that is hyper palatable, like processed foods, they add chemicals, just like you were talking about. to make them hyper palatable. So mm-hmm. once you remove those chemicals and remove the sugar, olive oil and very mild things like that will have lovely taste to you, will have wonderful flavor. You will drink a tea that has no sugar or anything in it and go, oh, that's just such a wonderful medley of flavor. It's just remarkable. It's remarkable once you remove those things from your diet, how great, very simple, elegant meals taste.
It's so true, Lauren. And what you're offering is really encouraging. And if you missed it before, friends, this is somebody who was diagnosed with diabetes and no longer has it just based on nutritional modification. And I can attest that that absolutely can work. And Lauren, I'll share with you, my son, who is 16, he decided mm-hmm. a little over a year ago that he was going to not drink soda. Now, that's pretty bold for a teenager. And I may mm-hmm. or may not have told someone on a college tour that he did that, and I did embarrass him. So I apologize again that, you know, I'm calling this out. But he has been over a year without soda, and he actually challenged my husband and my father-in-law, who are both listening. Hey guys. And they mm-hmm. no longer drink soda either. And it was the same thing. My son, somebody gave him a soda accidentally. He took a drink and he said, oh my gosh, I can't. How did I used to drink this? It's like a chemical bath. Mm-hmm. Like he couldn't even drink it.
Yes.
And I think the important takeaway of what you're saying is that you have to start small and cultivate these healthy habits over time. So if it's, hey, I don't eat any vegetables at all, and I'm going to eat a vegetable at least once in every week, like you'll be amazed as you start to, like you said, retrain your taste buds, how much impact that can make over time. And the other benefit of that is that if you're eating at home more, you're eating as a family more. And mm-hmm. we know that research says that kids are healthier, happier, engage in less risk-taking behaviors, and just have so many health benefits from that. And one of the other things I want to talk to you about, I want to make sure we address before we run out of time, Lauren, something that I actually talked about on this show last week that generated a lot of response was you have shared that you stopped drinking for health reasons. And we talked about mm-hmm. Dry January, which actually started in the UK. I share this too. I don't drink. And my reasons are because of my emotional and physical and mental health, because I have a very strong family history of addiction. But it made me laugh because when I saw what you posted, it's the same conversation. You go to any social setting and you decline a drink and they're like, why? Are you pregnant? Mm-hmm. Like, are you? Oh my gosh, are you an alcoholic? Why? Like, and it's just this morbid curiosity and social pressure mm-hmm. that is so odd. So I would love for you to share your experience with that and how you've shared that on your platform.
I would say by far one of the best things I've ever done in my entire life is to stop drinking alcohol. It was that profound of a health benefit for me. And it'll be actually 3 years in May since I have had any alcohol at all. And here is why I quit completely. I noticed that after I would drink alcohol, and I'm not talking about a hangover, I'm talking about in like 2 to 4 days after, I would feel almost like a depression, like anxious, uncomfortable, uneasy in my skin, easily agitated. And it was very predictable. And it wasn't like I was having 3 or 4 drinks. This was like a glass of champagne after dinner for dessert at a party. And I would feel that way. And then it got to the point that the instant I had any alcohol in my body, I just felt off, uneasy. Like I couldn't almost catch my breath, just awful. And I had this like anxious wave come over me the instant I had alcohol. And I thought, what on earth is the point of this? That is no fun. I have zero desire to ever feel that way again. And my husband said, do you notice that like after we, like the last time I had a drink was on Mother's Day years ago. And here's what we noticed. We went to a place for Mother's Day brunch and they said, oh, all the moms get a free glass of champagne. And I'm like, okay, sure. I'll have a glass of champagne. It's free, whatever. Okay. So I drink the champagne and then we go home and like I'm on the kids, I'm on my husband, I'm agitated, I'm uncomfortable. And my husband said, do you notice you're like happy-go-lucky, great with the kids and me, and then you have like an ounce of alcohol and you're crabby and like uncomfortable and just difficult to get along with. And I said, you're right. Yes, I am. Yes.
Oh,
and I said,
that's tough.
Well, I'm done. That's it. I'll just never do it again. And he said, are you sure? Seriously? I go, yeah, it's not that big of a deal. It wasn't like a drink. I mean, I've been pregnant for the better part of like 15 years, you know? I'm like, yeah. It's not that much of a stress. And after every baby, I would basically nurse until I got pregnant with the next one. So, uh-huh. I mean, I have had very little alcohol in the last 15 years because I'm always pregnant and or nursing. not today, I'm not. But anyway, I quit. And I tell my husband all the time, I'm like, I wish I had quit years ago. And I hate the fact, you have a different perspective when you don't drink any alcohol, but I hate the fact that so much of our society's entertainment and socialization is based around alcohol. Mm-hmm. I've never seen anything good come from alcohol. Nothing, ever. In fact, I only see that it makes things worse. And I talk about this with my kids. My kids are younger. My kids are 15, 12, 10, 7, and 4. But I talk about it with my older two because I think looking back at my life and really society as a whole, especially when you start dating, it's like, well, where are we going to have drinks? And of any time that you shouldn't be drinking, as an adult I'm thinking this, it's when you're learning to date, be yeah. around someone you could potentially marry. You know, I heard someone say, you know, rather than encouraging your kids to meet someone maybe for a meal or a drink or dessert or something like that, maybe ask them the next time they're going to go on a date with someone to say, hey, let's go hiking. Hey, let's meet and go for a walk. Hey, like mm-hmm. more of a physical activity that doesn't involve alcohol. It's probably a better way to get to know someone. And I just see in our society that there's a lot of people that use alcohol as a crutch for so many ways, anxiety or just a variety of things. Even I see people almost try and self-medicate away depression. And mm-hmm. I just really think that we have to take a step back and most of us evaluate the role that alcohol plays in our lives.
I think that's really wise advice, Lauren. And no matter what it is, I mean, we do self-medicate with alcohol, with caffeine, with ibuprofen, with scrolling mm-hmm. through our social media.
Sure,
there's so
sure.
many ways
yeah,
we self-medicate. Yeah. And I think the takeaway message from my conversation with you today is just to have the courage to be honest with yourself, just like you were. Like, hey, is my diet contributing to diabetes development? Let me fix that. Let me address that. Is alcohol making me irritable? Let me address that. And I want to close as we are coming to the end of our time together, Lauren, with a quote that I read on your Instagram that I thought was so good. You said, cultivating a joy-filled life often takes distance and dedication. As an adult, I have found we must be intentional with our habits and our time. It's been said our habits create our life, and I often notice in my own life when I'm struggling in one area, it's often because of a lack of discipline in another area. And that was just really honest and brave. Lauren, where can our listeners find and follow you?
I'm on all the social media channels. You can just search Lauren Freeman Roth and you'll find me. I'm on YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook. And thank you so much for having me today. This has been so wonderful to share, and I just hope that it really encourages and helps so many people.
Well, you can find her on all those social media channels, and she's been on the Dr. Nurse Mama Show today. We'll see you next time where we're prescribing hope for healthy families.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
Faith, family, freedom.